The treatment for this original inherited sin sins. God's Lamb has been sacrificed once for all people, made perfect human life, given for all fallen life. No more animal sacrifices are needed to point the way. The real thing has come. And now all the children, not just males, are brought to God and made his children through the waters of the flood, through John, through Jesus, through his word at this very font. So let me ask you a question then. If you had a newborn infant child was going to die without a simple procedure and medicine, would you refuse the treatment because she couldn't understand it or choose it for herself? Or would you let the doctor administer the treatment, believing that it would be beneficial even apart from your daughter's understanding of it? The answer is pretty obvious, isn't it? Sadly, though many Christian parents have just such a ridiculous question put before them when it comes to baptizing their infant children, and they choose not to allow the life-saving treatment that God offers and commands. Instead, they make God's prescribed remedy for original sin dependent upon human understanding, and they leave their infant in grave danger as an enemy of God and a child of the devil. No child chooses to be born with a medical condition that threatens her life. But neither can they choose the remedy for themselves. God gave them parents, and their parents must act on their behalf for their good. And so how many imagine that it's a different matter entirely when it comes to the infant's spirituality, to the infant's spiritual problem. Either that infant doesn't really sin from conception, which is clearly contrary to Scripture, or if the remedy is entirely dependent upon that child's rational decision and understanding, which is contrary to good, solid reason, and to Holy Scripture. The fourth commandment, the one that you know well about children honoring their parents, actually has something to say here about a parent's responsibility and duty. Children aren't to honor the idea of parents. They are to honor their parents. They are to honor their parents by honoring their parents' decisions for them, by trusting their parents' choices on their behalf. As parents, we make decisions every day for the physical and spiritual well-being of our children. To vaccinate or not to vaccinate. To go to soccer practice. Come to church. Not all of our decisions are good ones, but as parents, we are called by God to make decisions for our children's benefit. We are called to protect physically and spiritually, called to teach worldly wisdom, and more importantly, the fear and the knowledge of the Lord. Suffice it to say that Jesus was very angry with his disciples when they stand in the way of parents bringing their little children to him. And the threat of the millstone for those who lead a little astray from true teaching, from true doctrine, is not an empty threat. Well, at this point, especially for a visitor, you're probably asking yourself, when will this end? Who do you think that you are? Well, I'm not the Christ. I'm not even willing to unbuckle his sandals. I am sent to bear witness to the life to Christ. I am a voice crying in the semi-arid wilderness of Montana that all who hear of Jesus and his baptism and by grace through faith be saved. As a pastor in Christ's church, I baptize because Jesus said to go, and here we are going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. I'm baptized because the Apostle Peter teaches what Jesus taught him. Baptism now saves you from sin and eternal death. as Christ was raised from the dead, having glory in the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And what about infants? Why do we baptize tiny, cute as the Dickens infants? Because we love them. We baptize infants because they, not adults, are the example that Jesus gives of those who will inherit the kingdom. We baptize because Jesus himself was a zygote, an infant in a womb, a tiny baby in the manger, an 8-day older boy who shed his blood as he was circumcised. We baptize infants because Jesus died for everyone, including infants. And as you just heard from Paul's letter to the Romans, because baptism gives the very blessings and benefits of Jesus' cross and suffering and death and resurrection to all who receive it. We baptize infants because Jesus says to let their parents bring them to him. Because Jesus says, unless you become like a little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Because this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. Some of you, God requires faith for salvation. You're right. God requires faith. It is necessary for salvation. It is necessary for baptism to be efficacious, to be salvific, to believe and be baptized, he says. But quit looking at faith as something that you do, something that only an adult can have. Trust Jesus' words. You must become like a little child. You must be born again. You didn't affect your first birth from your mother's womb. Neither can you affect the second birth from above, from God. Faith comes by hearing the word. But the grace you have been saved through faith, this is not your doing. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. God's word and his gift, as Holy Scripture clearly says. Is it too hard for God to work faith in an infant child? Is it so powerful that he works faith in stubborn adults? Certainly, he works faith easily in infants who already trust their parents without wavering. Remember that God worked faith in John while he was still in his mother's womb. You see, God gives faith. He gives exactly what is required for baptism and salvation. His work, his remedy for our sin, isn't even a tiny bit dependent upon either reason or understanding. Jesus has given his bride, the church, the remedy for the problem of inborn original sin, the problem for actual sin, too. His side was pierced, and out came a blood and water that in holy baptism you would be washed and made as white and pure as snow. Your heavenly Father not only sent his Son to die for you and to save you from your sins and from the fires of hell, but he also gave you parents to carry you to Jesus, friends to travel with you along the way, and pastors to cry out his word and administer his gifts and fight against the wolf and all of his lies. Most churches today don't have anything of substance to say about sin, about spiritual sickness, about faith, and certainly not about eternal death. Baptism is downplayed and turned into a work of faith, rather than being God's work to create and give faith. The Lord's Supper is rejected as Jesus gave it, as his body and blood for healing and nourishment and forgiveness and life. God's Holy Law is sought for so that people don't feel uncomfortable or get offended. The gospel itself, Jesus' sacrificial death for your salvation, is not even referenced on many Sundays in many churches, but it is often used to browbeat people into doing good works. This was not the preaching of John the Baptist. The voice of one crying in the wilderness said, "Hell is for real. The judgment is at hand, and he who spoke those things, don't you? I am not worthy of the gifts that the Lord gave to me in holy baptism, but he gives to me in his word of absolution as he forgives my sins, as he feeds me with his own body and blood. I am not worthy of this office wherein I am called to administer such precious gifts to such precious infants and godly adults. But you see, my worthiness has nothing to do with the message that I bring to you or the medicine that I distribute. Just as your worthiness has nothing to do with what God is giving you in these holy things. These are not my gifts to offer as I choose. They are not your gifts to demand. These are Jesus' gifts from his fallen creation. I am not here to entertain you or to manipulate your emotions and give you little goosebumps on the back of your neck. I am here as John to point you to your only Savior from sin, to the Lamb of God who was slain to take away the sin of the world. No matter how great your sin as a husband or a wife, as a mother or a father, as a child, your Savior is greater than your sin. No matter how many times you have failed to keep this holy law or make bad decisions for yourself or for your children, all your sins are washed away in the flood of the blood of the Lamb. Jesus loves you, and he loves your children too. He paid the price for your sins and for theirs. Do not be afraid to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and bodies washed with pure water. For he who promised is faithful. He who calls you to the font is faithful to save. He will surely do it. Time